Okay.
Not for you either. You'd be cool.
Just started recording.
Question.
Yep. My name is Rhiannon. I am 13 years old. Today is... 26th of November. I feel like you're lying. 24th of November. And I'm speaking with Tracy Ross, who is my mom, and we're recording in Boulder, Colorado. Okay. Tell me about where you grew up and what your childhood was like.
I grew up in Chicago. What was it like? Well, I guess I didn't grow up always in Chicago. Until I was six, we were in the suburbs. I don't remember much about the suburbs. I started kindergarten there, and then we moved to, my parents were getting divorced or separated, I guess, and then we moved to the city and moved around a lot of times. You think you moved a lot of times? I moved more times, but always within Chicago.
Okay, what was your relationship like with your parents?
My relationship with my, well, it changed throughout the years, I guess. I don't remember much at all before we moved to the city, like, at all. And then once we moved to the city, my dad, he was gone, so he left, and I didn't see him for a few years. And then my mom was fairly stressed because she was a single mom and now living in an apartment, trying to, you know, like, work and raise my brother and I. So we didn't have much of a relationship. And then as I got older, I think because we didn't have a relationship when I was younger, we just didn't, we didn't get along, like, at all. My mother and I never got along. Mm-hmm. I moved out pretty much at 17. Because we didn't get along.
Okay, tell me about your siblings. Were you close with them?
So now, is this... So my brother and I were 6 years apart. And he was just a baby when we left the... When we left and moved to the city. So I kind of had to take care of him. I don't remember the... Oh, right, Jason. My brother. So I took care of him a lot when he was younger. And my mom, I would, like, helped her and stuff like that. So we... I think he was 11 when I moved out. So we didn't have much of a relationship until he kind of got into his thinking.
Yeah.
So then, right, when he got his he was in his first relationship, like, serious relationship, when he was, I don't even remember how old he was, but I had been married already, and I had Grayson, and then his next relationship, so they broke up, and that's when we got close. So he was with the girl. And he kind of stayed, he didn't really get along with my parents well either.
Mm.
So he stayed with her a lot. And I lived, like, you know, I mean, I was married, had a house, and, you know. So then his next relationship, his girlfriend had a daughter. And so I think, like, he asked me a couple of questions, like, kind of advice stuff. And then we became really close. And that was, I think, I mean, Grayson was just, yeah, like, just a baby. So him and I ended up doing a lot of stuff. And, I mean, I'm always thinking that if anyone understands the madness of my parents and someone that I can talk to and, you know, like, who truly gets it is my brother. So, yeah, I mean, I'd say that we're as close as we could be under the circumstances of, you know, being 6 years apart and not growing up.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. So what was the worst thing you did as a kid?
What was the worst thing I did as a kid?
Yeah.
I don't know. I was a good kid. But as a teenager, I
rebelled.
It's not even that I rebelled as much as, like, I just didn't care. Like, I really, because I didn't get along with my parents and stuff, and so I just kind of did whatever I wanted. And they didn't care, mm-hmm. because that's just the relationship that we had. So, I was dumb. Like, the worst thing that I did, was probably, I would not hitchhike, but I, like, if I was walking home or walking, you know, wherever, and it was, a ride was offered, like, I'd go, all right, and I would take a ride. Like, honestly, I'm alive, I'm here telling you this, and I think that's pretty amazing. Like, I wasn't, when I look back at, like, I got into strangers' cars. Once I rode on a motorcycle, right? Like, I don't even know. So I think that's probably the worst thing, and that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I feel lucky that I am alive. And then I got a motorcycle burn when I did the motorcycle. Do you know what a motorcycle burn is? It's, you can tell, like, if you see it on someone, and it's gonna be on someone clueless and dumb like me, but, the exhaust pipe is where you get off. And so my leg pressed against it. It was so yucky. Like, it was huge, and it blistered, and then it, like, blackened, and yeah. And,
why did I need to know that?
And yeah, because it was a bad thing that I did. And then my parents were like, oh, what happened? I'm like, oh, it was a pot, or I don't even remember what I told
a
them.
A pot.
It was. Well, like, yeah, I don't know, but it was not that, and that was dangerous.
Okay.
Don't hitchhike.
Okay.
Don't accept rides from strangers, because I was lucky. You probably won't, like, our family can't get that lucky that, you know, both of us could be that stupid and live, not be raped or killed or something.
Yeah. Okay, then. Did you like school? Why or why not?
Yeah, I liked primary school. I think it was just, I didn't like home.
Mm-hmm.
So it was good to be there. The only thing that was kind of a bummer is, I mean, good and bad. The school that I went to, everyone gets bused, 'cause it was all of Chicago. So it wasn't like a neighborhood school. A school bus. Big yellow school bus.
Oh.
So, like, the kids in my neighborhood went to the neighborhood school, so they all knew each other. And then the kids at school went home to wherever they lived. So, like, my two best friends, well, my two best friends that I could see, I had three, like, throughout school, really good friends. One was Auntie Shell. Mm-hmm. But she went to her dad's every weekend, like, every single weekend, not even, you know. He didn't live close. Anywhere near us. Yeah, he didn't even live in the city. He lived in the suburbs. I mean, and she also, her stepsister is the same age as her. So she kind of had, like, her built-in, like, every weekend, that's what she did. So we never saw each other. And then my friend Tammy lived really far south. And then my friend Rosie and her brother Ronnie were, I was really close with them. And it was okay when they lived, or they, I couldn't go to their house because it was far, but like they could take the bus or their older sister's boyfriend would drive them to our house. And so I got to hang out with them at least more. So for school, that was like my friend group was there. I enjoyed my teachers. I enjoyed some subjects like English. I don't know. I enjoyed some aspects of school, but overall, I think it was good. Primary school. So good. High school wasn't as great. High school is when, like, it really came to when, you know, I didn't care, and so then I just would blow off classes and just not, you know, not try. I didn't try at all in high school. So.
Okay, tell me about your prom. What did you wear? Who did you go with? What was the night like? Your face.
So prom was, I went with my high school boyfriend, Tom, and I wore, prom dress shopping with my mother.
Was, Grandma Jolie shopping.
Yeah, it was a nightmare and a half. So I ended up wearing like a suit, like, but with a skirt. So it was a black suit, so the, like, a blazer jacket kind of thing. And I just bought a silk, like, camisole that goes underneath, and then the skirt matched the jacket, so black. So it was formal, and then I wore heels, and most girls, I think, wore, like, cocktail dress type things, but I couldn't find anything. Like, I hate, you know me, I hate bows, I hate sequins, I hate lace. Like, I just hate everything that comes with a prom dress, I think.
Yeah.
So that's when, you know, but, I mean, I showed you the picture, right? Mm-hmm. You've seen it even recently. So, I mean, it looked
good.
Formal, right?
Yeah.
But that was junior prom. I didn't go to senior prom. Mm. So in high school, and I don't know if it's the same here, but when I went to school, junior prom was a little less formal. So it was like cocktail dresses, above the knee length, that kind of thing. And then your senior prom was the more formal, like floor length dresses, ball gown type thing. So, I mean, I didn't go to the ball gown one wearing a suit. And what was the night like? So we went, obviously, to prom. We had plans after prom. Our class, or not our class, a bunch of friends, probably like 40 of us or so.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we branched out to their friends. So I think we had like maybe 100 and something that were my high school. We had like over 1,000 students in my class.
Oh god.
Like my whole high school is like over 6,000 students.
Wow.
So we chartered a yacht for after prom, for like the after prom kind of
mm-hmm.
party thing. And when we were leaving prom, we were just going to taxi over there or whatever. Well, some of my friends were going to get changed. And we, you know, my friend Jill was like, oh, do you want to come with us and get changed? I'm like, well, I don't have anything to change into, so I'm all right, you know. And her date, Rob, was like, oh, I'm sure I have. We're going to go to my house, so you can wear whatever. Like, at least she'll be well, it was cold, not like freezing, it was cold. It was freezing. It wasn't winter, but it's Chicago, so it was cold. Yeah. And then because we were going out on the lake, like on the boat, it was going to be really, really cold. So the idea of like getting changed sounded, you know,
amazing.
Good. Amazing. And it was kind of like everyone's going to be in their prom stuff, and they're going to be so jealous because we're all comfy and, you know, so. We went to Rob's house, and he found us all stuff, and did that happen before? Yeah, so on the way to Rob's house, or was this on the way? No, that was the way back. Okay, we get changed, right? But I didn't mention that he had this little car, like a sports car. It was really new, too. It was a really nice sports car, not typical like high school student car. And we have really, I had another friend who had he drove his dad's Jaguar. That was the spare car. So, you know, like it, because we're in Chicago, it was so diverse. Like, and then, you know, half the kids were on the bus, you know. But anyway, I got my license that day actually on prom. So in February is when I was eligible to get my license, when you turn 16. And then I'd just been putting it off, and so this was in May. But I got my license, all is good, whatever, it wasn't a big deal, but it was over with. And we were running late, and you know, it's a boat. Mm-hmm. So you have to be there when it takes off, because then you miss the whole party. It's not like, mm-hmm. you know, and we all not only paid for it, but like this was what we were all doing. All of our friends just, you know, this was our plan for after prom. So we're running late and Rob's like, I got this, right? Mm-hmm. So he speeds, you know, and mind you, this little car that he's in is so little. It only has like two seats in the back, like two little seats in the back. And there were six of us. So, right.
It's like a clown car.
Well, kind of. So it was Rob driving.
Mm-hmm.
And then I cannot even remember who the other couple was. So then there was another couple
mm-hmm.
in the back, and then Jill was Rob's date, who was driving, and so Jill laid across the other couple, like in the back kind of thing, because, you know, it was a tiny two-seater, a little sports car. And then I was in the front seat sitting on my boyfriend's lap. So it was crammed, the car. Like, we were not, you know, and he was going over 100 miles an hour down Lakeshore Drive. And Lakeshore Drive, like, there's songs about it. It's famous. It's a really, really, really long stretch. It goes the entire lakefront of Chicago. So, like, you know where Grandpa lives. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, his house from downtown. Mm-hmm. And there's that stretch that, like, isn't in front of the lake. I don't know if you remember. But, like, we always took it because...
Yeah, we should have done it.
Well, that was not even halfway. Before Grandpa's house goes all the way north, Whoa. The north side of the city, and that's where we were. So, a lot of miles. I mean, you know, not crazy, but mm-hmm. we didn't have enough time to get there. So he's going 100 miles, we're crammed in this car, or 101, 102, like, he had this cool, like, digital readout, you know, which was so cool back then, and it was a nice car, so, you know, but I'm looking at it going up, and when I see it hit 100, I'm like, because I'm in the front seat, and I'm on the lap of, you know, so, anyway, obviously, we get pulled over, right, because, you know, that's just dumb, maybe that was dumbest, no, that wasn't the dumbest thing, we get pulled over, and you have to get, like, we got off the, it's not an expressway, but it's similar, like, it's three lanes each way, and that's why we could, you know, kind of go fast. So, we exited off, pulled off, police officer gets out, and license registration, that whole bit, and I'm freaking out, and I don't know, what the law was about, like, having everyone in the seat. There was no seatbelt law, actually, now that I think about it. You didn't have to wear your seatbelt. I did, of course, I mean, obviously. Not in that situation, necessarily. But anyway. So, I don't, like, none of us were worried about, like, too many people. Like, I think about now, today. Mm-hmm. Everybody has to be in a seatbelt. That's, like, the most unsafe situation I could have been in.
Yeah.
But that wasn't even a thought. So, I mean, the speeding and all of that was, I knew, not safe. But it's not like, you know, when the police officer came up to the car, we weren't like, oh, no, you know. But we knew at that point, like, oh, yeah, we're not making this boat now. So then he says to Rob, you have other speeding tickets, and Rob's like, yeah, you know, he kind of enjoyed his car, and he's like, I have to arrest you, like, you didn't, I don't know if he didn't show up for his last, or a court date, or he had too many speeding tickets, or, because the speed limit is 40, I think it's 40, but it might be 45 mm-hmm. on Lakeshore Drive. So he was literally going 60 miles yeah. over the speed limit. Like, it was, you know, not good. So for whatever reason, they had to arrest him. So, you know, he's already obviously upset about that. And, you know, he's like, so you have to come with me, and your friends can follow us there if you want. But, you know, okay. So then he's like, the officer's like, who's going to drive, because you have to get in the car, you know, I have to take you. And no one else had their license. No, literally. I think one person had it, but they'd, like, had a drink or something, so obviously that wasn't who was going to drive.
I got it that day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and I mean, I'm obviously nervous and, you know, nice car.
Behind a police officer.
Exactly. I had to follow him all the way to the station. So I'm like, okay. All right. And everyone's like, you can do this. We can go slow, you know. And the police officer's like, okay, you know, can I see your license? Show my license. He's like, wow, you got this, you know, wind? You know, and he's like, okay. So at least he knew that, like, he would go mm-hmm. slow too. So, and he was nice enough. I mean, he wasn't even a jerk. And we, you know, We're clearly in the wrong. So anyway, get in. The police officer, like I can see, puts his car in park because he's got his brake lights on. And I go to put my foot on the pedals, and I'm like, what's this third pedal? And my friends are like, what? I'm like, there's a third pedal down here. Like, literally, I didn't even know the difference between a manual and an automatic car. Like, and so they were like, it's a manual. Like, it's a stick shift. I'm like, so then I hear Rob, like, because the police officer's like, everything okay? And my friend's like, yep. And I'm like, so I start to drive, but I don't, because with a manual, you have to press the clutch and slowly release it as you're, like, shifting gears and stuff, and as you're pressing the, this is good. You will learn to drive a stick, so Grayson, because it's super important. But you have to go like this.
If you get pulled over on prom night?
I got pulled over on prom night. No, it gets worse. The story is not over. So, I couldn't drive, and the officer ended up, like, coming back and being like, what's going on? I'm like, and so he was like, okay. So he let Rob get back in his car. And then we had to follow him. And I mean, I think he had Rob's license. I mean, obviously we were gonna follow him. What are we gonna do? So we followed him to the station. So then Rob gets out of the car to get arrested. And so the police officer's like, you know, we'll make it as quick as possible. And he knew it was our prom night and we were bumming. So we all pooled our money together to get the $100 to bail Rob out. And so then the police officer's like, so you're really not supposed to, like, you don't, he lost his license that night until court. So he wasn't supposed to drive home either. Mm-hmm. But obviously he was the only one that can drive. So the cop was like, okay, you know, I have to go back out in like 10 minutes. So, you know, if your car's not here, then I'll know that you got someone to pick you up. You know, like he was nice. I mean, so, okay, all right, let's go. So we get in the car and, you know, we're driving. Obviously, we're not going to speed, but, like, we want to get out of there mm-hmm. quickly and away from, like, the possibility of him even seeing us again, because that was a nightmare and a half. And as we're driving, not even that far, not even that fast, we hit a raccoon, right? The raccoon goes flying, bounces off the hood/windshield of the car on the other side, like, that was driving in the other direction, and then goes flying into the, like, a tree wooded area. And we all obviously scream and, you know, are completely freaked out because we just hit a raccoon. It's me, like, you know, animal lover. And I honestly don't think I can remember 1 minute after that. I don't remember where we went after that. I don't remember if we all went just back to someone's house or if we all just went home and decided to call it a night. I have no idea. That's really weird. Because, I mean, that was pretty eventful. Yeah. That was my prom night. Done and dusted.
Yep. We have 15 minutes left.
What do you mean?
Okay, did you have a nickname and how did you get it?
Kind of, not like major nickname, but T, like I call Greg G. So people call me T. But it wasn't like I'd ever introduced myself as T. And then the other one that was more nicknamey was Red. Yep, Red. Well, number one, I told you my hair was like your
hair. Oh, right. Yeah, you dyed it.
I used to dye my hair red. And so it, varying shades of red. Like, I used henna before, and that's like Crayola red. Use like the ones I've thought about getting you, Hannah. Well, I'll talk about it later. But I used varying shades of like the ones that you use and things like that. But so there was not everybody, like most people called me my name, but there was a whole group of people where I was referred to like, where's Red? And like not long ago, I forget where we were living, England, I guess. One of our friends said something, and they were, it was weird. It was such a blast from the past, because my friend Jason was like, okay, how about we get Red and Johnson, because Pat Johnson was the name, and we all meet in London, because we were already living there and whatever. But I was like, I have not been called Red in 30 years or something like that. You know what I mean? It was so weird. Well, not 30. I'm not that old. I'm not. I would only be 16. It was called Red for longer than that. But anyway, so that's it.
Okay. So what is your most vivid memories of childhood or like years when you're younger?
This is like the saddest interview. It's like, I was called Red. And that was a good thing, right?
Yeah. You know? You hit a raccoon.
See, right. But that's what I'm saying. Like, you know. So, vivid memories of childhood were just not good ones. I think my very first, like, real memory was the night my dad moved out and left. And, you know, I said I didn't see him for a few years when we moved out from the suburbs, and him and my mom were in a big fight, and I woke up, and then they saw me, or I was, you know, like crying, like, you know, can you stop, please stop, or whatever. And then my mom was like, would you, you know, telling my dad to stop. And then my dad was like, no, I'm not gonna stop. And, you know, then he's like, actually, and he called me in there, and he was like, you wanna know something? I hate your mother. And he left. And that was it. Like, I didn't see him for, like, I mean, for sure at least a year. But, I mean, for the most part, I don't think I saw him in, like, the 3.5 years that he was gone. If I saw him at all, like, I may not have seen him at all. I don't really, again, childhood, kind of fuzzy. Can't imagine why I wanted to block any of this out. But my mom said, I remember thinking, like, because I didn't see him, that he was kind of deadbeat or whatever, which obviously he was as a dad, but he did send my mom, like, child support.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something that at least, you know, but that's my most vivid memory. Sorry.
Yep. Did you have a teacher or other adult that impacted your life while you were growing up?
My favorite teacher, Mrs. Gray. Seriously, until now. She was in eighth grade, one of my eighth grade teachers. It's kind of like you, like, you moved around, but we were, anyway. She loved me, and by that time, I wasn't, like, I still did well in school, but there was definitely, like, going to high school wasn't going to be, you know, because my parents weren't, they didn't really care, and they weren't together. And so, yeah, she just kind of, like, she would have me grade papers for her. I, you know, like, teacher's pet, but not, like, I wasn't called teacher's pet or anything, mm-hmm. but definitely, you know. But she was just, like, amazing. She was so, like, calm and nice and still kind of cool. And there just wasn't a lot of that. All my other, or not all, but a lot of my other teachers were just kind of teachery. And she was just chill. And she dressed really nice. And she was just super well-spoken. She was a Black woman. And a lot of, there still, you know, was, I never had any racial issues, and in our school didn't either, but there weren't a lot of Black women role models, mm-hmm. and that, you know, she just was, yeah, she was wonderful, and I can't find her.
Really?
I have, and her name is Taffy Gray. Her first name is Taffy. Like, no joke, on her birth certificate, her first name is Taffy. How can you not find that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's not like I'm looking for John Smith. So, but yeah, because I would love to, like, let her know how much, you know. So, that's, yes.
That's cool. What did you do during the summer when you were off from school?
Man. Okay, so summers off from school were, I went to, well, I had to go to day camp, which was, the worst, because my mom worked and, you know, so, day camp was like a full thing, but it was at the Park District and it was like all sports. So, right. I hated it. It was actually the worst thing ever. So, I used to, so my mom would drop me off there after a while, like not, I think I went for one full year and then the next year I was like, I can't do this again. Mm-hmm. Like I literally, it's like PE class for, you know, 8 hours a day, every day. Yeah, it was terrible. Well, once a week you did a field trip, but the field trip could have been like to a sports related thing, or it could have been, you know, I mean, the museum or something like that. So, I mean, at least, but it still wasn't, you know, I didn't have like good friends there and, you know, or anything like that. So, I hid in the, my grandparents' house is what we were living in at the time. And I hid in this like storage room type thing. And I got caught, like, because I wasn't going to, you know, and so I forget how, but my mom left, she came back, and she found me. Anyway, I don't remember, but after that, she sent me to Tennessee every summer to stay with my grandmother, and so summers were spent in Tennessee, and I don't know what was worse, like, going to day camp, or, I mean, I loved my grandma, like, you know, and I got along fine, but my grandfather, he was, like, I didn't know that he was a really big alcoholic, but I didn't, like, because I was a kid and didn't mm-hmm. really get that, but he was, and he was very, very, very strict, and a born-again Christian. He literally would have, like, televangelist TV on all day, and we lived in the South, like, it was, like, really, I mean, we lived, mm-hmm. they lived in the South, so that's where I was, but he would get his tape recorder, because there were not video recorders then, tape recorder, and he would put it in front of the television and record the pastor or minister or whatever it was preaching, and then that's what we would listen to, like, in the car, or, it was not good. So I read a lot. My grandma would buy me books, which was nice because I read a lot. Like, that was definitely my escape. Cheesy books. I mean, you know, Sweet Valley High and stuff. But it was at least my escape. And it was boring, though, like, except mm-hmm. for reading. There were no kids on the block that my grandparents lived on. It was, you know, like, they wanted me to help pick vegetables and can fruit and vegetables and things like that, which I mean, I did, but it wasn't like, yay, summer, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so this is the last question.
Okay.
If you could go back and relive your teenage years, would you? Why/why not?
Whew. I don't know. No. I don't think I would. I think they definitely made me like who I am. And even though like they weren't good for like with my parents and with school, obviously I would change like school, but I don't think I could. Like, we didn't know until Grayson was diagnosed with ADD that I had ADD, so it explains so much of like my schooling. And so I wouldn't have been able to change that part if I went back and redid it. I still would be ADD, and they still would not have diagnosed it. And so I still wouldn't have, you know, like, so yeah, I think that I mean, it made me who I am. And I think that it helped me with my relationship with you and your sister. Because I know that I never wanted it to be like what I had in all the ways. In school, with parents, with, you know, all of that stuff. Even with, you know, like the ADD. Once we knew that Grayson had it, and then I didn't do medicine, and then once I did and it worked so well, that's something that, like, with you guys, with you, you know, I just don't want to not be aware and, you know, like, you have anxiety. So it's something that, you know, I mean, your teachers, if they're aware of it, like, I'm not asking for, you know, loads of stuff, but they need to be aware because it's a real thing. So, no, I would not change it. That's my answer, and I'm sticking to it.
Well, thank you for doing this interview.
Thanks. That was eye-opening.